Good afternoon and welcome to this, the final Tortoise Shack Sunday special of 2020. I'm Vicky Conway from Policedon Ireland and I'm joined by Linda Hayden of Pack Women Pod, Dr. Caroline West of Glow West, Tony Groves of the Echo Chamber podcast. Sadly, Martin's unwell, unable to join us, but we hope he's listening at home as the women of the shack attempt to replicate his sardonic evisceration of Tony. We'll do our best, Martin. Today is going to be a little different. Rather than our usual review of the week, we're going to do a review of the year. But as you'd expect from the shack, it'll be different and hopefully good crack. It's been a hell of a year. COVID and Brexit would almost make you forget we had a general election. But you guys, the patrons, have without a doubt made the year bearable for all of us here at the shack. And this will be a theme of today. Tony has some books to give away. We may have an extra special prize for one of you. We're going to go through different categories and please comment on the side as to what your answer would be. And we can go at the end, we'll open it up for you, our wonderful patrons, and you can suggest categories that we forgot to mention at the end. So let's have some fun. We're going to start with mess of the year. What's your favorite mess of the year, Tony?
My favorite mess of the year has to have been the I'm starting serious. I'm sorry, but it's been all the times that we sped up our reopening. Mm. That's been the biggest mess of the year, where we've said, you know, we had four phases first and we had levels and we had phases, and now we've seen the UK, we have tiers and they never seem to matter. And it's always been then 2 weeks ahead of it. And then 2 weeks later, they're saying, well, maybe we should have stood the course. And that is actually undoubtedly the one thing that I think in hindsight, we will look back and say that, you know, maybe a lesson will be learned in terms of listening to armchair epidemiologists and lobbyists, in effect, rather than just an additional 10 days in some cases. Even this week, you see, if we'd gone an extra week, perhaps we'd feel a little bit more secure about our Christmas. And I hate to be about it, but that is just a thing that stands out for me. It was frustrating over the summer because there was a rush to reopen because we got the numbers down. But as the lads who... and you know, and everybody then turn around, they say, well, you can't do zero COVID. And we see countries that have done it. So, you know, as one of my favorite sayings of the year is actually, don't listen to the people who say it can't be done. Just support the people who are doing it. And I think that's a lesson we should probably take forward.
So what, you don't agree with putting business interests ahead of public health and safety?
I'm not against businesses, absolutely. But I'm again, right now, an extra 2%, honestly, I did the sums, an extra 2% on our budget this year would have supported businesses up until about March. Okay, so let's just take the money that's on the table, support the businesses, and let's not have them, because I don't want to see businesses not reopen, jobs not coming back, and the economy not bouncing back. There's even with COVID, Ireland is going to be one of the top performing economies in the world. So, you know, like, let's tell the truth here. We're not in the mess that others are, and we could have afforded to go another 2% on our budget that we did recently enough. I don't see why we didn't.
Linda, your mess of the year.
Golfgate. Ah. Yeah, for me, it was Golfgate. It was everything that's come from Golfgate as well. Like, Golfgate was kind of the start of a big, giant shitball. There's no other way to describe it. So yeah, it was one rail for us and another for them. And some people got some nice positions taken away from them, but that was just about it. There was nobody lost their job. We now have a Supreme Court judge who hasn't sat a day, who's been paid, who's not accountable for any of it, whose boss actually wanted him to resign and he just went, pfft. So no, yeah, Golfgate. For me, it's Golfgate.
That's fair enough. Caroline?
I was gonna go a bit more serious and just nominate every single thing that Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party
have
done.
All day.
Yeah, but let's just generalize, say literally everything that they've done. But I suppose that the fun kind of mess of the year was the Trump campaign misbooking the Four Seasons Hotel and ending up landscaping, which just gave me enormous joy because there was a sex shop across the thing that had a half price sale on dildos at the time, and the owner was interviewed. And I just love the sheer mess of that. The fact that they just tried to pretend this is where we were always going to have it. I just love the memes that came out of it, the unification that brought, and just, I suppose it was yet another symbol of the giant mess that is Rudy Giuliani as an actual person. So this is before the hair dye incident and literally everything else that man has ever done. But yeah, total seasons. Was it four seasons? Total landscaping. Fair play.
Can I say one thing on that though? If you haven't woken up between a sex shop and a crematorium, you haven't had a good night out. You
know? You're going to need one or two of those services. So yeah.
The shack trip to Amsterdam is definitely going to be.
Oh God.
Amsterdam, down to Algeria, and over to Philadelphia.
So for me, it's on a theme with Linda, but it's Wolfwatch in particular, which I've harped on about a lot on here. But I mean, it's just the galling nature of seeing those. And I even think that the transcript of the interview made it all so much worse. Like when you actually saw what he said, what he compared the media to, like, it's just, and we're still, as you said, Linda, it's still rolling, it's still going. Mm. But I'm kind of hoping it becomes a favorable mess of the year, because I'm hoping it forces us to cop on with judicial appointments and judicial accountability. So I'm hoping it's, because we kind of always have to go there in Ireland. We have to go to an absolute mess before we fix something. Mm. So I'm hoping I'm putting a slight positive spin on it. Okay, a happy one. What do you think is the success or achievement of 2020?
Well, I actually, it's funny, I don't know if people realize it yet, but I think we will see that hopefully the generation that voted this year, that brought us very close to brought us to a left versus right, as opposed to Fianna Fáil versus Fine Gael electorate for the last 100 years. I think they will see the things that can't be unseen. So I think they'll see the fact that they couldn't have a ban on evictions and we did. They couldn't have rent freezes and we did. We couldn't do anything about homeless. We got them all off the streets within a couple of weeks. You know, all of these things that were done in a pandemic, we couldn't spend money on this. We did. Where are we going to get the money for that? Went away. You know, all of those things that, and I just think the idea that you can see that and then be asked now over the next four years to pretend you didn't see it. I think that's really a good news story, that there's a lot of people who realize that and they go, no, wait a minute. You know, especially that generation who came out of college or out of school straight into the teeth of the global financial crisis and suffered again. And then now we're taking another wallop here and they're being told, actually, and you're going to have to pay for this one as well. I don't see it. I think that's where the hope is. And I genuinely think that's where the good thing is going to come from this year.
Caroline, what's your success or achievement?
It probably won't be any surprise, and Linda might touch on it as well, but it's the passing of the legislation for the image-based sexual abuse, which, you know, has just been incredible to see, the legislation actually finally getting put through with the amendments that were necessary. So that's a lovely thing. But also the fact that it might have led to a bit of a culture change as well. So the fact that we've taken a few bricks out of the wall of rape culture that's there in Ireland and built up a consent culture as well. And the fact that maybe we've just even introduced people to that concept of, you know, and maybe they've gone about and looked at it in a different way, maybe more keen to take consent classes in college. I don't know, but like some sort of cultural shift might have changed, and that's only ever going to be a good thing. So, and it's also a success because, again, it's highlighting yet another example of misogyny in Ireland. And the more we highlight, hopefully, the more we reduce it in an actual principle, I hope. But yeah, so success story of the year.
And she probably won't mention it herself, but we're all going to mention the fact that Linda was specifically named in the Dáil this week, or in the Seanad, for her work. And we're so proud of her. It's absolutely brilliant. A great week. Linda,
well, sorry, it's the same. For victims, this was huge. It was the first time I ever think, and I think I speak collectively, where we felt really listened to. And that was huge. the work, and I have to, I know we call her out every week, but I have to commend Bear Grogan for,
please stop, please,
absolutely just never ending to get us into the position that we were in, where we had senators and TDs ringing us to say, tell me what you need, and for to be listened to at that level. And I hate the fact that it took, as we said, something that extreme to happen. Like, this legislation sat on desks, piling up dust for 3 years. And I know there was a lot of work done, like it was going to committee stage before anything happened, right? We're not saying that we made that happen. It was going to committee stage. But Helen McEntee stood in front of the Dáil on Thursday after it broke and said, oh yeah, we're committed to getting this legislation passed within a year. And then it was passed within 4 weeks. Huge. And the fact that we were listened to was huge. And it gives me so much hope for other things, that we will be listened to on other things. And I see, like, we give out about Fine Gael time and time and time again, and with good reason. But I see Helen McEntee now talking about hate crime legislation and looking for input on that. And it gives me hope. She actually gives me a little bit of hope in that we are going to be listened to and we can make things happen. And that a small, determined group of people can make a difference. And that is the biggest success story for me this year.
We remember Coco and Derek Quigley and many others in all of that, and their families, and how they fought has been inspiring as well. For me, yeah, Coco's Law, maybe the promise on direct provision, tentative, we'll see. Policing and domestic violence has been a real positive of the year for me, but end of the day, I'm going with the High Court's decision yesterday in the Kerry Babies case. Like an absolute first in Ireland, a ruling that all findings of a tribunal were incorrect and unfounded, and telling that woman after 34 years that the judge was wrong to say you killed your own baby. It's a legal first. Like, legally, this is really interesting. I've never seen a judge do something like that. So it's really great to see that openness to different types of legal responses to problems. And, you know, the state didn't oppose it and it just went through. And it's a really important day for righting a huge wrong in Irish society and what it said to all women. So that's my buzz of the year, definitely. Okay, who was your performer of the year?
Am I going first again?
Fine.
Sure.
My performer of the year would probably be, sad to say, I'm gonna go out there and say the likes of Simon Harris. Unfortunately, he has absolutely, for someone who was never on side with Leo Varadkar's regime ever. He was obviously a Coveney man at the get go, and he has managed to go through health. Come through a pandemic, go into a new place. I saw someone call him a high achieving performer. Actually, he was called a high achieving performer, and I thought, this is not to sound bad, but he's a college dropout. He's done all this, and yet his stock has just risen and risen and risen. And I don't get it. I'm not going to say that anybody else has dazzled me enough to think that they could take any of the sheen away from a guy who's gone from crisis to crisis and has managed to continue to be seen within the public as, oh God, we wish he was back. Wouldn't it be great if he was there? Look at the other guy going on about trampolines attacking children. You know, all of that stuff. I'm going to go contrarian and give it to Simon Harris.
See, I'm a bit jaw dropped on this on two fronts. One, that you're going with Fine Gael, but secondly, when you suggested performer of the year, I actually thought you meant like entertainer.
Oh well, maybe we should have just. Well,
no, that's my answer. So, you know.
I took his meaning on it.
Okay, so who do you have?
I have Tony Houlihan, who went from ultimate bad guy with the whole cervical smear thing to a national hero. And I think that's some performance to turn around. Like, people completely forgot that he was the person at the head of allowing 200 odd women to die. And all of a sudden, it's like he's national treasure. And yeah, so a bit like Simon Harris, really, where you have a bad guy who's now ultimately a good guy. And you have to keep reminding yourself that he's not a good guy. So yeah, that's my performer of the year.
Who did perform in really difficult personal circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I am not, like, he has been really consistent in the messaging. The government are the people who have...
Well, the fact that Leo Varadkar doesn't like him is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, very
it is, though. It, it would, like, if you were thinking that that's the guy that you're getting under his skin, which is kind of the reason why, one of the reasons I said Simon Harris, because I know that they don't like each other either. So I kind of, there's a nice kind of nastiness there to the tarnished. And when he has that streak, if you get under his skin, I think you're doing something right.
Mm. Oh, Martinez just made an excellent point. If we're talking performer, yeah. Jedward. We love Jedward.
But just on Tony Holland, I do think, and talking to people, you know, who live in the UK, like, there is a huge difference here in that we know who the leading experts are and we are listening to them and engaging with them. And, like, that's not generally, from what I hear, the case in the UK, you know. So
I see Dawn Foster is in the audience. I might bring her around in a little while and ask her about her UK performer in the year. But we'll go on, Vicky. Sorry.
Caroline.
See, I went way different to the rest of you because performer is the word I used in my PhD talking about porn stars. So I was like, porn star of the year? Like, is that what we're talking about? Hint, hint, it's Charles Starr. Because never liked a moustache as much in my life. But performer otherwise, I was thinking entertainer-wise. And that was the only gig I went to, which is Dua Lipa, where I sat on my couch with my glass of wine in my hand, the WhatsApp group going with other people that were watching it. And it was actually just brilliant. And she put on like an hour or 2 hour long gig, and it was actually just a lovely way to experience a gig. And I'm getting old, because I was like, I could sit down and I could be comfortable for a concert. So that was my non-politician performer of the year.
I mean, so we've great suggestions coming in there. Just St. Arden, Jedward, obviously, like, absolute heroes of this year. I have people like, you know, Connell from Normal People and that chain of his. But actually, I was coming down to Michael Fry. I, like, if you follow him on Twitter, I love his little songs and videos. They have made me smile and laugh so much this year, and I am very grateful for him.
Can I just come in there and say, follow him on Instagram, because he does the best tweets of the day on his Instagram feed every day, and they're unreal.
Ooh, hot tip, thank you.
Alison Spittle co-video parties, yes.
yes. Saved a lot of people on a lot of lonely nights, I think. Yeah, that was true public service in action. Okay, political blunder of the year. Caroline, do you want to start us off?
Once again, everything that the current government has done on a daily basis, but I kind of have to go with what I talked about in the last podcast or the one before that, the Hungarian MEP getting caught in an orgy with a backpack of drugs, sliding down a drain pipe to escape in the middle of a global pandemic. I just think it has every ingredient possible for a delicious political scandal, and I just absolutely love it all about it. I hope you had a good time during it, but there's just so many elements to it. And he was homophobic. He drafted the constitution and saying marriage has to be between a man and a woman, and he's at a gay orgy of, like, not just like three or four men, like 25, like, you greedy bottom, like, Jesus, like, or greedy top, which, or verse, whatever, we're not judging anyone. But it also
Tony can't cope with this.
I did hear during the week there was another police raided another orgy in Brussels, and someone said there was 45 people at it, and you're telling me not one of them was an MEP. Something really wrong there.
Someone there.
But I just a special Google alert for political orgies.
I'm going to set one up now.
The echo chamber is pretty popular in Brussels.
I do love just on this note that I learned the Flemish word for a sex party, which is sex fest, which is S-E-K-S-F-E-E-S-T. And I'm like, that's how brilliant a word is that? You caught up in a sex fest. Like it works in every language. So yeah, that Hungarian MEP was my scandal of the year. Brilliant.
Linda, your political blunder of the year.
Micheál Martin denying that we bailed out the banks. Like, what? Sorry. That's on par with them saying, no, the IMF is not here. Do you know what I mean? When they were like photographed. I don't know. That just to me, I know it's really recent and that's like, it just was like, huh? Like, talk about being gaslit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
these are just the facts. These are the facts.
Yeah, the facts. We didn't. And then, oh, my bad. Like, just the whole thing of it. No, we didn't. You're a terrible person. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, actually, okay, we did.
Looked up a dictionary when he got back and then went, okay, yeah, that's what a bailout means.
That was on my shortlist, along with every time anyone called a Taoiseach said the Taoiseach. Yeah. But I think ultimately I'm going with Eamon Ryan falling asleep in the convention centre. That was pretty special.
Literally asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
While there was a vote for, was it a living wage?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was the thing. I actually listened to the Echo Chamber pod with Saoirse McHugh when she left the Greens yesterday. Just randomly it came on and I listened to it. And it was you guys had asked her about was that the thing that made you go? And her point was it wasn't necessarily that he was asleep. It was that he was asleep during a debate on a very important topic and had to be woken up to vote. And then voted against it.
Mm. Yeah, and I think like there's an important point there, right? Because like if politicians are doing their job, it's probably an awful job. And, you know, this was quite soon after the election and all of the negotiations. I'd get over someone being tired. Like that could be a good sign in itself. But as you say, like just places, you know, getting it right.
Yeah, the tone was terrible. Like, can I bring the tone down again with the what was the worst thing of the year? And it's kind of in a theme or of a theme. It was I know we were kind of really pushing vote left, transfer left, and I know in my heart of hearts that, you know, I shouldn't have trusted Eamon Ryan. And I think too many people thought that we could have a broad left coalition, and we were betrayed there. And I think at a level whereby, you know, should have seen it coming, should have known that he was never going to actually seriously enter negotiations with a broad left coalition, and he never did. And I think part of that is because, you know, we trusted in the green activists, the social justice, climate justice aspect of the Greens, but ultimately the party was led by the climate action plus should the free market will solutions can get us out of climate change as well. And unfortunately, I think some of the mess might have been of our own making.
I'm going to add another one in here because I was, and you know, he's a colleague of mine as well, but that Roderick Gorman and the handling of the Magdalen records was really tough to take. I think he's done an awful lot of good since then, and a lot of real positives around paternity leave, and you know, we've mentioned already the decision on direct provision, but that was, I find that like a really tough moment. Again, on that kind of thing of who you trust and where you put your faith and how that's used.
Just on that, it was Holly Kern's face when she asked him about the amendments and he just said that was where you knew
it's horrible. Let's flip it. Who's your politician of the year and not performer of the year? You're not to go Fine Gael again, Tony. Linda, you're straight in there.
Holly Kern's, whatever. Wow.
Explain.
So Holly, one vote Holly, as she is known in the Sock Dems, is just somebody who has continued to impress me. And when I say that with the IBSA thing, she was the first person on the phone to ring me and say, what do you actually need? Tell me what you need me to say. And has consistently just held people to account, has shone, really shone in the door. And, you know, like there are a heap of people in there that I really admire. And this was a hard decision for me. It was like, oh, do I go with Lynn Moran? Do I go with Lynn Boylan? Do I go with Eileen O'Flynn? Like, who do I go with? But it was Holly. It was always going to be Holly. She has been phenomenal, just phenomenal. And I look forward to seeing what more is going to come from her.
Mm. And she's a very, like, kind of unassuming politician in a lot of ways, isn't she? She doesn't shout the loudest or anything like that. She's just always in there asking the questions. Yeah.
Asking the questions. The accountability thing. I love that. I love
Tony.
Well, Linda's named a few people who I would obviously reference in terms of, I'd go into the Shannon, I'd talk Alice Mary Higgins, Lynn Ruan, Lynn Boylan's done very well as a first time senator, and Eileen O'Flynn has done terrific to raise the profile. It's really, really, really encouraging. Again, it's a strange one, but if you go back to Leo Delic and when he was on his feet giving his account, there were a couple of good performers there, and it was Piers Doherty and it was Paul Murphy in many ways, who had a really good, and it was really good to see that, as opposed to just ask, you know, I'm going to talk for 2 minutes and talk at you and not ask a question. And actually, Paul Murphy has surprised me in a few things. And he's a bright guy, but he's performed really, really well in the Dáil, given that the fact that now he's, you know, what was someone said? There was six, before the last election, there were six of them and only two parties. Now there's six of them and 12, they're in 12 parties, and he's now Solidarity, PPP, Rise, and a few other things. But I thought, I see Killian picking out Catherine Connolly. She did, and I'm not surprised at all. Catherine Connolly is forensic, and she waited and she heard what was asked and answered earlier, and she came back with the ones that he missed out on as well. But in that thing there, I think, realistically, if we'd had Catherine Connolly, Piers Doherty, Paul Murphy, and maybe one or two others, as opposed to everybody standing up, I think Leo Varadkar would have been much more badly damaged, because there was way too many of the others who just wanted to talk for 5 minutes. And I think that all got lost in the maelstrom. And it didn't look like he was as badly damaged, because we had to hear someone else talk for 15 minutes just about a bus link or something, whatever way they linked it to.
So that's McGrath.
he absolutely brought shame to the Dáil that with his comments.
Yeah. Caroline?
Of course it's gonna be Gemma O'Doherty. No, only messing. I needed to see the looks on your faces for that one.
I'm gonna have to edit that out.
It's later from the WhatsApp group too.
Can you imagine? Jesus Christ, like naming her. No, I was going to go for Eileen Flynn again, and I think it's going to be a really interesting year. Obviously, this year has just been a mess and it's not a normal year, but I just think it's going to be really exciting to see where she goes. And, you know, the representation is just obviously amazing and way overdue, obviously. But it just seems like a really lovely person as well. And I would have said Holly Cairns as well, but I'm really interested to see what Eileen gets up to, because she's only young, she's only a wee babby. So she has a long history ahead of her as well. So, or long future ahead. Yeah, that's the word. Not history.
History is behind us. So.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah.
Bright future.
There, it's Jesus. Yeah, yeah. My rage over IKEA photo frames has clouded my brain.
Yeah, I mean, Vicky. I'm with Eileen, Holly. I suppose just to mix it, I'll... Lynn Ruan, just an absolute legend. And I think one of the things I've learned this year, partly through doing the podcast, because when I started, I got on to Lynn and said, like, any ideas? And I learned so much about what she continually does on the ground in her community, all the different groups she works with, like, and just how integral she is. And, you know, her work on the spent convictions bill that's monumental. Like, that's really significant for people that have been dragged into the criminal justice system, perhaps when they shouldn't have been. So yeah, that's huge.
Can I just make one thing on Lynn, which is quite telling. Back when you could have events, get-togethers, late last year, early this year, she was in Trinity and there was a big audience and people were talking, and Lynn was giving a bit of a talk, and the place was packed, people standing down the back and all the rest of it. And then they said, any questions? The first hand went up and the mic came along, and this person took the mic and said, Lynn, Tala loves you. have you got a question? No, we just wanted to say Tala loves you. And I just thought, you know, she dragged them in. But and we have to mention Thomas Pringle for continuously referencing me in the doll, because I've done everything. And fair play to him. Really appreciate that, Thomas.
You and Thomas in a gangster's paradise.
It's Thomas. Thomas has been unreal. Yeah. Like in terms of a rising star, he's been absolutely unreal. But I love the fact that this was the hardest category for me.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that this was the hardest category, because we have some people out there who are doing some stellar work, and you can actually see the results of it. And again, big up to Bear. You know, she's instrumental in that kind of stuff, because she's the glue who brings all the pieces together.
I was really worried when Claire Daly left and went to Europe. I was genuinely worried. So it's just so wonderful to see all of these fresh faces coming through.
And now it's more women as well. Like, it's really nice that we have so many women to choose from, rather than like one token woman, you know, that we're all going, oh my God, more of you. Like, it's lovely to see that change happening slowly.
As the Shack shows, like, women just do better at this stuff, right?
I would love to see just a little bit more diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a hell of a lot more diversity.
Yeah.
Now, we're not, unlike some radio shows, we're not going to have What's Your Podcast of the Year, and where we all
nominate our own. Yeah.
So we're not going to be doing that, in case anyone's wondering.
It would, I'm sorry, but it would be pleased, I have to say.
It would be pleased
in Ireland, because it is one of the best podcasts out there, and it is rightly getting the recognition for it.
Absolutely.
So, Vicky, you're doing phenomenal work, really important work, and fair play to you.
Well said.
But let's not make this a love-in, because nobody wants that.
No.
But I'm gonna throw the others. I'm gonna use my prerogative as a host this morning. I was supposed to be asking them next what their story of the year is, but I'm gonna ask them a little bit differently. What's the nicest thing that's happened to you this year? Just to, you know, make it a bit personal and a bit good. I'll start. I'll let them talk. In January of last year, when things were a bit shit, because my dad died before Christmas of last year, Tony asked me, in fact, Mairead Enright suggested to Tony that I come on to do a podcast, talk about the RIC commemorations. And I went over to Tony's house. I was only just back at work. I was all very nervous and everything. And myself, himself, and Mary McAuliffe sat in the room that he's in back in the days when you could do such things. And we had a great chat. And I really, really enjoyed doing it. And then I just said to him, as I was leaving, I think on the steps of his house, I said, I've this thought about a podcast. And he's like, we're going for coffee. And I didn't realize when I said it, he was going to drag me into the Shack. But it has been the best thing of this year for me, has been coming a part of the Shack and starting to do a podcast and having it well received and feeling like it's doing exactly what I wanted, which was to get people's voices and experiences heard in a way that they're not, like this week's. I mean, Mary talking about her experience of domestic violence, like, this isn't stuff you hear usually. And I'm just so glad that we're able to do that. And that's been a highlight of my year. Definitely. Thanks, Tony, for taking a chance on an unknown kid.
It's actually, there's a funny thing. And it's when you say it like that, my highlight here has been saying yes the things and going for it, pushing it, every trying. And I mean, that doesn't just relate to the people who are on this call, the people who are in the audience, all this kind of stuff. I've, you know, other people have said to me, I've got an idea for something, and I've said, yeah, okay, let's try help you there, let's see if we can help you there. And you get it back tenfold. You absolutely get it back tenfold. I can't stand the idea of gatekeepers and people who think that, you know, oh, there's too many of this, or there's too much of that, or they may implement, like, I look at Dave Gibney and Claire O'Connor doing The Week at Work and dragging them onto a Zoom call saying, listen, lads, we need to fix your sound. We need to work on your audio because someone should have done it for me ages ago. You know, this kind of thing. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but there's so many things where you just kind of do. And it was, and it literally, you get it back tenfold, especially this year where people are disconnected. It was a way of staying connected. One little thing that was really, really funny though, and I'll always remember it, when Golfgate kicked off and it was all going mad, we obviously knew Aoife Grace Moore before she was Aoife Grace Moore, the really, you know, world-renowned political correspondent. And I texted her, said, listen, I see this Golfgate thing is blowing up. Will you come on the pod later? And she said, I can fit you in at 1:30 or whatever it was. And she says, so just before we started recording, she goes, I've just come off the BBC and now I'm with Tony and Martin. And I got such a laugh out of the fact that she went from BBC to the two Egypts sitting in front of a laptop. So it was great crack. I love that.
I think that's a really nice lesson though, because I think in years like this, it's really hard to kind of, to me, like, it's very tempting to just put up walls and keep things small and little, and to see that without doing anything unsafe, you can connect, engage, achieve something. And you know, the first 6 months of next year is still going to be that way. So that's a good lesson for all of us. Also, we don't have a Journalist of the Year category, but I'm assuming we're all agreed it is Aoife Grace Moore. So, like, we almost don't even need it. Caroline.
And Peter McGuire.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
good thinking. Okay. God, I don't know where to start. I didn't prep anything for that. So,
I know.
sneaky,
I mean.
Sneaky, I tell you. I don't know. I've had, like, such a weird year. Like, it's been terrible health wise. Like, I hope finally recovered from COVID like 8 months in. So yay for that, and yay for, like, not dying, catching it, because that was obviously quite the fear at the start. I've had amazing, incredible things that I hoped would happen, and, you know, wasn't sure that they would happen, but I finished a PhD, started the podcast, which is now, what is it, Tony? It's up to like 160 countries or something. It was like number one in Algeria. It's been around the world, but it's been lovely that people have been really engaging in it and give me feedback that they're learning from it, and they're learning about sex and they're learning about gender and all these kind of things. And it's lovely to be able to, you know, give people the sex ed that I wish we all had. So, you know, it's kind of an F you to the system that I grew up in, and kind of creating a better world that way and stuff like that. And shout out to him and Doris as well for putting up with a very weird first year of marriage, where he get kicked out of the house when I'm doing podcasts, and just looked after me really well when I was really sick. So that's been amazing.
Was it not wearing your robes yesterday?
Well, that too, yeah. We're sitting around the botanic gardens in my robes and stuff, so that was awesome. I have them till January. I'm going to be sitting in my pyjamas with the graduation robes on, watching TV, having a glass.
I'm surprised you didn't wear them today.
I should have. Oh, go change.
I have, wait, I'll put on the hat. There's the hat on somewhere with the string going mad. But yeah, and the only other thing, and this is like totally sounding like a humble brag and stuff, but it's been lovely to be able to teach sex ed workshops. So I've taught hundreds of students all across third level, all about sex, porn literacy, image-based sexual abuse, menstruation, and it's amazing. And I'm going to teach in the UK next year as well. So,
but you also have made Tony speechless by talking about things like fisting so many times.
Can I need to actually bring this up during the week? I put into our group chat, Caroline, do you have something about anal? Right? And Tony was like, shut up, stop it, stop talking. And she was like, oh no, I've just recorded it. We haven't done it yet. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I sent him the one about fisting instead, right? Because it was somebody on Twitter who's literally asking me about anal sex. And I was like, well, I actually have a resource for that one second. But it was, I absolutely knew that Tony was losing his mind over it. Because then put in a snapshot of my Google where I Googled Dr. Caroline West anal sex.
Lads,
it probably is a resource.
Dr. Caroline West and pegging.
It's only quarter to one. Will you stop?
Linda, your nicest thing of this year?
Oh God, lads, I actually
falling in love.
Choose. Like, there has been, for a really shitty year, it has had a huge amount of highlights for me. So finding a Shaq family, number one, I think, has been a huge, huge thing. These weekly things, my favorite part of the week, doing the lives. And so that's probably one. The IBSA, the Comedy Me Too, all of the work, activist work stuff that has really changed things, I think. And seeing that you can actually make a change, has been a huge thing. But I think my highlight, and this is awful, was Mam ringing me to say I was in the Herald, because for an inner city, towny, working class Dublin family, having your picture take a half a page in the Herald was a huge big thing. And on the same day where I was on 98 FM as well, that, like, fuck RTE, the fact that I was on the talk show on 98 FM for my family was a huge thing. And seeing my family realising the kind of stuff that I do, because I live with two people who come in and they can tell my mood when they come in at night from work by how I am, like, either on the phone going, because so much what I do is on the phone, that it's just so removed from my normal life that people don't realise, like, people in my house don't realise, and them actually seeing the kind of stuff that I do now and understanding why I'm like I am, I think has been a huge thing. So, yeah.
Awesome. Tony, congratulations. You had some books you wanted to...
No, I don't have books. I have... three people put their hands up, the first three people right now, if that's okay. You can put them down in a second. Click, how quick are you? Right, we've 1, 2.
Pass his finger first.
No, come on, somebody else put your hand up.
Okay, right. So, yeah, so this first... Do you know what, actually? There's four of you. So four of you are in straight away. So four of you are going to get a copy of David O'Doherty's Comedy Christmas special. David said to me afterwards, he said, don't buy it, steal it. I said, no, David, we will buy it. So I'm just going to take a list of that, and then I'm going to send them out then afterwards, if that's okay. So I saw when you took your hand down, and I saw you, so we'll go away. I saw that there anyway. All right. Thanks, guys.
We have one last category before we then open it up for all the chats, and we might have a guest or two pop in then. Patron of the year. I mean, I'm going Burr.
Burr was mine as well. Not that, like
you're all awesome.
It goes to everyone, but we call Burr a Shaq cheerleader. So, you know.
I went with somebody
the rest
different.
You need to tweet about us more.
I went with somebody different.
Who did you go with?
I'm going to go with O'Shane Murphy Lawless because he contributes every single week. So much. So O'Shane is my patron of the year.
I will just go slightly different and say that it is... there's actually a few. There's Laura Dowling. There is Simon McGarr. There is...
Anne-Marie.
Martina Wynn. Look, guys, you've all been fantastic. But Sharon. I get it, like when I get the... if I put up a post on the Patreon thing and I see the people even just liking it and stuff like that, you've no idea how encouraging that is. Because sometimes when you put stuff up on Patreon, you're just absolutely going, am I putting up a post that someone's interested in, or have you just reminded them to cancel that thing because your man's really annoying me with the amount of updates that he does? So it's heart and mouth time sometimes, but nonetheless, there's so many great people there, and we do really... it just wouldn't happen without you. Simple as that. It really wouldn't happen without you.
Finish up this section of the episode. As always, please continue to support us at patreon.com/tortoiseshack, which I didn't say in RT this week, but I'm saying it now. And thank you all. Have a safe and happy Christmas. And our listeners can stick around and we'll have a bit of fun now.